Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. Killer Bees, we didn't get to it yesterday. Too much fun being had. A texter, Jackson, had enough cojones to call out Stone with factual numbers. Let's put a little respect on his name. We were. That's why we were saying that he would be the dude that would call out Kevin Durant and then get in Kevin Durant's crossfire. That was not a knock.
No,
that
I
was
think,
Jackson having cojones and being the dude that would do that.
No, look, I give him credit, and that's a good reference that I had forgotten about. The fact that he recently got Stone's ire in that press conference at the end of the year, I think Jackson's a pretty good call.
Yeah, and look, I think Rafael Stone was saving face there. Revisionist history. They then trade Jalen Green for Kevin Durant. I think that Rafael Stone probably respected the question, but publicly could not answer the question as true as he was
that
capable
question
of
about
handling.
KD?
No, it was about Jalen Green.
It was about his usage, right? And the lineups that he played with.
It was about the plus minus, yes, him being the worst plus minus player, and like a bunch of different, you know, combinations of fives out there. And he's like, well, you know, data, I can make data. But that, I mean, he had to say that, Rafael Stone. But no, I absolutely appreciate the question. And it wasn't, I hope that, you know, he understands that wasn't a sign of disrespect on our part. That was saying he's tough and he'll ask the tough question that could irritate Kevin Durant. Not a knock at all. Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday, 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Bees? How much of the Rockets' plans next year revolve around Reed Sheppard?
I don't think any of them revolve around him. I think that they include him. I think that he's going to get more opportunities to play more minutes on the NBA floor than last year. I think that depending on how he performs, it will dictate going forward, like how many minutes he plays and how big of a role he could be. He's a wild card because what we saw last year when he's on the floor, he makes some bad decisions. He decides to jack up some shots that are probably not needed when he shoots them. But overall, because of the talent, I think he's going to get every opportunity.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far to say that they revolve around Reed Sheppard. Reed Sheppard's a piece. Reed Sheppard's a piece that if he could, you know, let's see how to put this. If he could hit his projections, could potentially level them up, could bring up their ceiling. But if Reed Sheppard has a second season like his rookie season, are the Rockets doomed? No, he's going to be a backup guard at best.
And they'll go between now and the trade deadline. Or, I mean, between the time they realize that and the trade deadline and try and find some help.
Yeah, I don't think...
I mean, he's at best, what, their eighth most important player?
Next year. I mean, he's coming off the bench, so he's off the bench.
Yeah,
I think he's like nine because you got Big Steve, too, and Big Steve's going to be valuable at times because of backing up Alpie and because when they go to the two big
We mentioned Steve.
Adams.
So Steve and Tari, who would be ahead of Reed? The third one. Third guy off the bench.
I'm missing somebody on the roster again.
I mean, Cam, but
I think Reed currently.
No, Reed's
yeah, Reed.
Eight.
I know. So that's why, at best case, he's the eighth most important player.
Eight. But like maybe a free agent acquisition or if you make another trade, bumps him to nine. But I would say he's currently.
Because Aaron Holiday's eight. Free, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have him ahead of Reed next year either.
No, that's what I'm saying. They
he's
have,
got an option.
They have him right now, currently as it stands, above him.
Who's they?
The Rockets.
I don't think so.
Above Aaron Holiday.
Reed, you ahead of him. Yeah, I thought you were saying Holiday ahead of Reed because you brought up Holiday.
No,
Reed's easily. Well, I wouldn't say easily. Reed is eight right now today. Things could change between now and opening night, but today's eight. And your season's not made or lost on number eight. You're certainly not revolving your plans next season around your eighth best player. Now, future, they would love for him to be great. Key from L.A., if you can have one rewind in sports, what would it be?
Oh, man. I mean, just like you're talking about like in a sports moment, like a team, teams we watch.
That's the way I interpreted it.
I would say the onside kick and all of the debacle that ensued when the Packers were going to the Super Bowl against Seattle and then screwed everything up.
Mine's still way too soon to discuss and talk about at length, but probably national championship game a few months ago. I'd like to replay the last 5 minutes or so.
It's fair.
A lot of Houston Cougars would say the NC State game, the last possession. Oh. There's a lot of good ones. I mean, you could go Chris Paul hamstring. You could go Howie Kendrick. How about you slice a little bit before the foul pole?
John Stockton game winner.
Stockton three. You could talk about Hinch's decision as Sports Rewind in that
putting
game.
In Will Harris.
Yep. Or Lillard. Keeping Greinke in or going with Cole. Lillard would be up there. Lillard was early. Like, it's certainly
first round.
Yeah, it was first round, but it was if people remember it. They
sure.
Hate it.
Like, it would be in the conversation. I don't even know if I would say in the conversation. Like, it's something you would bring up while you're having the conversation, mm-hmm. but it wouldn't be anywhere near the top five because of the stakes, because it was first round. Yao Ming's foot. You know, I think I would like that.
Against the Lakers specifically?
Yeah. Because I think he got more runs than one if his foot's healthy.
How about the 91 playoffs against the Bills? Like, there's a lot, unfortunately.
You have to rewind more than 5 minutes.
What about the Renfro call in the Oilers-Steelers game?
No, he didn't say 5 minutes. He said the one rewind in sports.
Okay.
What would it be? Yeah, a lot of old heads would say the Renfro catch. I still need to go back and watch that game. We need to pick a date that we watch it and discuss it like it just happened last
night.
Yeah,
I don't know that I ever watched
it. I've never watched it. Yeah. I've never watched it. Harden game 7. Will Appy, Smith, Adams, and KD be on the court at the same time? Ooh, interesting.
Appy, Jabari.
Be like a four big lineup. I think you see it every now and then.
Didn't they do an ultra big for a little bit against Golden State early in the series?
Well, no, and the double big lineup is something that was very effective for them that they have plans of using more frequently this year.
But they would even go to a triple.
Yeah, they went
with
to like an ultra big, like either game one or game two against the Warriors, and they got killed and they went away from it.
I think the five were Amin, Tari, Jabari,
KD.
No. It was during the playoffs.
Oh.
Şengün and Adams?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. I could see them playing around with that lineup. Like, it's not going to get a ton of minutes together, but you play Adams at the five, you play Smith at the – or Alpi at the four, you play Smith at the three, you play KD at the two. And they played some zone last year when they would go big, so I could see it.
I think it's really based on who you're playing, too.
Sure.
Like, I think you could take full advantage of it with certain opponents, and I think they're going to use that as a weapon.
I think they will.
Yeah. Like, Jabari can shoot the three well enough, and we know KD can shoot the three well.
Like, you're never going to see it more than 10 minutes in a game
at
most. But, yeah, every now and then I could see it. 713-780-ESPN. Out to the HRMP listener line. Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. Keith, what's your question for the Beast?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, the NBA trades are flowing in. You know, the Rockets are looking to build a title contender. They're going to need some veterans. Taking a peek at the roster in D.C., they've got three veterans that you got to think the Wizards are going to move. Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, and even CJ McCollum, plus Kelly Olynyk, who they just got, make it four. Which one of those guys do you think could be a nice fit coming off the Rockets bench?
I think the only answer there, and because Ime has experience with him, is Marcus Smart. And they all make too much money, so it's not going to happen. But if I had to pick one.
Rockets definitely need a point or backup point.
Does he shoot well enough?
Yeah, he can shoot the three. If you leave him alone, he can shoot the three. He became his last year or two in Boston, he became a pretty damn good 3-point shooter.
Remember when he got in a fight with a fan at Oklahoma State?
Well, he's tough. Yeah, he said the fan spit on him, but yeah, he went at him. Yeah.
Yeah, he got up to 39% last year. 32% in his career, though.
When there's double teams and you leave him alone, especially in the corner, but his last year or two in Boston, he was pretty solid.
I mean, I would take 39. I'm not taking 32. So I guess it depends. Are you getting him at his peak shooting, or are you getting him at his career average shooting? Because I would absolutely take – I mean, he only played 15 games last year. So is that a small sample? Like, his previous high prior to that was 36, which was way back in 18-19, which is fine.
Would you take 36?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I would.
Anything north of 35, I would take.
Same. That would be my number, would be 35. What, is he a potential buyout candidate?
I think that is definitely a possibility because he wants to win. He doesn't want to be in Washington, and I think he's already voiced that.
But maybe they can buy him out and they can sign him on the cheap. A little vet minimum.
I think he'd come play for Ime in a second.
He's got one more year left on his contract. Yeah, he could be a buyout candidate. Mm-hmm. He could be a buyout candidate. I don't hate that. That might be more in-season than off-season.
Yeah, because those other guys, they got extensions, they got money, and they got years left. You're not going to touch. And I don't – CJ McCollum to me, nope.
Yeah, same. Is that contract so big?
It's awful.
If Reed and Holiday had the same amount of assets and value invested in them, Holiday would be viewed in higher regard than Shepard? Question mark.
Maybe because of the fact that he's proven. I think that from the standpoint of Reed, Reed, we don't know what he is at all. Aaron Holiday, we know that he can be a decent backup point guard in this league, and he can shoot the three ball.
I'm going to say if you give both of them 70 games next year and they both play 20 minutes a game, same exact situation, I think that Reed would produce more than Holiday.
I think it'd be close. I would lean Holiday.
Yeah, that's definitely not a blowout. I agree there. Eric the Driver, everyone talks about C.J. Altuve and Dream as some of the best draft picks in Houston history. Do they talk about C.J. that way?
Altuve wasn't a draft pick.
No, he wasn't. International signing. But now that Forrest Whitley is gone, who are some of the worst draft picks in Houston history? Eric the Driver. We did a whole segment on this the other day, but we pretty much landed on, if you want to count expansion draft, Tony Boselli would be there. The Astro we landed on was
Mark Appel?
I think we landed on Appel. Yeah.
Or Brady Aiken?
Well, Brady Aiken was a good draft pick. Led to Alex
Bregman.
That's
true. That's true.
He didn't sign.
I think it was Appel.
Appel was on there. Who was our Texan guy? There was a lot of Texans.
We
Xavier
had Royce White.
Royce White was on there.
If you want to throw in compensation picks, because they remember the NFL, I don't know if it still works this way now, but there was a time when the compensation picks, if you took it, then it cost you that same pick the following year. Anyway, they used one, like, second year of the franchise on Tony Hollings, the running back.
Yeah.
He played, like, 30 snaps for the team, never did anything.
What round was he again?
Huh?
What round the compensation?
Second.
Oh, was that high?
Yeah, they lost the second round pick for, like, 50 carries.
There's been some rumor. Yeah, I remember that. It was awful. I didn't realize it was that high. There's been some rumors of the Rockets signing Ben Simmons. Any interest, and where would it be?
Oh, my God, no.
I haven't seen those rumors, but no. He's not. I need a shooter.
He can't shoot.
I want shooting.
Yeah, no. Period. End of story.
How do you like your steak cooked? Ask a texter.
Medium well.
Medium.
Medium rare. I want a little bit of red in that bad boy. Have you ever air fried a steak?
I haven't.
In my house, that's an easy answer. No.
Surprisingly, not bad.
Were you able to get to the exact temperature you wanted pretty easily?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't too. It was a little bit rarer than I normally cook it at, but it was fine. It was fine. I forgot to set it out in the morning. I think it was a few weeks ago. Forgot to set it out. I looked up a recipe. Can you air fry a steak? A lot of people actually do it. It turned out pretty good. Whipped up a little chimichurri on that bad boy.
What cut was it?
It was a ribeye. It was a ribeye.
Nice.
I was like, I'm eating this ribeye today, and I forgot to set it out in the morning. So I was like, what the heck? Why not? It was pretty good.
It wasn't tough?
No.
Okay.
No, pretty tender. Hmm. Yeah, I didn't hate it.
I've heard you mention the sous vide or whatever.
Sous vide. I haven't done a sous vide in years.
Yeah, that one doesn't sound good.
Oh, it's good. It's good. Perfectly cooked steak. Give it a little sear at the end. It's just a hard work.
See, the sear might help. Yeah, just the fact that it's boiled, just blah, blah, blah. I don't think so.
I mean, it's not boiled.
Isn't that the concept of just...
But it's never the water never gets to a boil.
But it's
like
still...
it's like taking a warm bath.
Yeah, with a piece of steak, that doesn't sound appetizing.
I mean, it's the best way to get it evenly cooked throughout, because you get it to your desired temperature perfectly. Now, the secret is you want to get it a few degrees below medium rare, because whenever you take it out, and you're going to sear that little hunk
of meat.
See,
the sear thing I like, because then you put some season on it or something like that, and then get it to where it has some more taste.
Have you ever cooked a steak in the dishwasher? I actually think that's a thing. I don't think he's trolling.
What?
I think that's a thing.
I thought he was making fun of the sous vide. Thing.
Reverse sear steak is the way to go. I've done it a reverse sear. That's fine. I just like to sear a steak. Like nowadays, if I leave it out all day, put it on a little cast iron skillet, I got my way. It tastes really good. Now, if I'm in a pinch, a little air fryer. The sous vide tastes great. It's just a lot of work. It's not worth the work. No, I think the steak in the dishwasher is an actual thing.
Jeez. Like,
the water does get pretty hot, but...
Like frying an egg on the sidewalk, now it's steaks and dishwashers?
Yes, it's possible to cook a steak in a dishwasher. The technique is a variation of the sous vide cooking. Maybe he's making fun of the sous vide, but I've actually heard of that, like people doing this.
Hmm.
So I don't know if he was trolling, making fun. I don't. I'm not sure. I'm a little torn on it.
You gonna try? Do you want to report back to us?
No, no. There's a lot of different. I'll put it in the little ninja before I do that thing. All right, that's it for Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. So Scott Boras is the new agent of Jeremy Pena. Trey Jeremy Pena. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
How can we get Jeremy Pena's iPod and just play this on shuffle the entire time, on repeat the entire time? It's not all about the money, Pena. I know you went out and signed Boris, but Altuve did that. He signed a team-friendly deal. Lance McCullers has Boris. He signed a team-friendly deal, although it hadn't really panned out. Lance McCullers, team-friendly deal. The Astros have worked with Scott Boris in the past for team-friendly deals, so it's not the end of the world. I just don't believe that in Jeremy Pena's case. Yes, trade Jeremy Pena. Not now. Not right now. Not at the moment. You handle him like you handled Kyle Tucker. Yes, you trade him going into the 2027 season. Because Pena has the rest of this year, obviously. And he's got two more years, 2026, 2027. So let's love Jeremy Pena for the hunk that he is for the next year. Sous vide little Jeremy Pena. Let's really enjoy him for the 2026 season. Hope he plays at a top five MVP level. And then you trade him in the offseason before 2027, the final year of his contract, the same way that you handled Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, it's exactly, now that it's been done once and you've had success with it, and you would seem to believe that you got a guy now that's going to get the right thing, the right package back for him, that's exactly what you do. And Boris does have clients in which four extensions have been done. But at the same time, we know that he's not given discounts. He represents Altuve. Altuve was the one that told Boris that he wanted and this is what he needed to do. Otherwise, that's how we know how Boris operates, and it's not great. So instead of getting nothing and get left holding the door open while they walk out to get their bag, you get something for him before he leaves. And he, by the way, he also added Hunter Brown recently, too.
A few months ago.
Yeah, so if he's got Hunter Brown and Jeremy Pena, hate to break it to you, but there might be another one down the road that you got to consider.
None of those would be a surprise. I mean, Pena's having he's currently, I think, second in WAR in all of baseball. So, okay. Second in WAR, hire Boris. Like, Pena, if Pena was a free agent after this season and he just finishes the year that he's currently having, I think it's within the realm of possibility that he could be getting $300 million.
I think he's like Willie Adames type, but with longer.
What did Adames get?
Adames got, I think, 27 to 32 a year.
Yeah.
But I think he'd get for more years.
Yeah. Now, Pena's going to be kind of an older free agent because he didn't make his big league debut until, 24 years old. So he's got this year, he's 27 this year, 28, 29. But we're talking if he was entering free agency at the age of 27. He's going to be entering free agency whenever he's going into his age 30 year. So that's going to probably bring down the total length of the contract, the total value of the contract. You know, maybe it's more Bregman, maybe it's more 6 years. But if he was entering free agency today, right now, the end of this season, he finishes the season second in baseball in WAR. This year, second in baseball in WAR, I think he would get a $300 million contract.
I couldn't see. See, I was thinking where you were going was he would get the Carlos Correa 6 years, $200 million. I could see that being in the realm of possibilities. I could not see. Now, obviously, he'd have to finish this year, like you said, with the second best WAR, so he'd have to finish off the next 3 months playing this well, but it would still roughly be kind of based on 1 year. I couldn't see that turning into a $300 million contract.
I had it at, just to round it up with inflation and escalators, I had it at 30 a year for 6 years or in the 180 to 200 range.
Okay, so somewhere $30 million AAV,
yeah.
The term 6 to 10 years. Now, Correa, whenever he signed with the Giants the second year in free agency, got $350 million from the Giants.
He really?
He just didn't pass a physical.
Right,
I thought it was
true.
Like 275, but okay.
So he did agree to an over 300, now it's 13 years, so it brings down the AAV some. But like somewhere in that ballpark. Like Jeremy Pena, if he was a free agent today, we can all agree, would be paid massively.
More than one Bregman got.
And someone's going to overpay, no doubt.
So that goes to tell you what his value would be. I think they could get something similar for Jeremy Pena. If he plays well next year, like he would still have another entire season next season before you're entertaining the idea of trading Jeremy Pena. But look what you got for Kyle Tucker, who missed 3 months of the year, by the way, last season. Cubs traded, of course, for the stature of player is, his prowess. You could fetch, I believe, a similar offer that you got for Kyle Tucker. And I will go backwards. You should have done it with Bregman. You should have done it with Carlos Correa. You should have done it with George Springer. Like, imagine 3 or 4 Cam Smith-caliber players running around with the Houston Astros right now. It'd be awesome.
I think that they were just so scared that if they did what they did with Tucker, that it would diminish their chance to chase a World Series every single year. I think that they just had this fear factor that what they got back wasn't going to help them immediately, and the loss of a player like that was going to hurt them significantly as they chased a ring, and so they didn't do it. And I think that maybe Dana Brown was maybe the deciding factor. I would think Click thought that way too, but probably just didn't get through to the powers that be. But I think that they learned a valuable lesson in the right way by doing what they did with Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, why wouldn't they have that same thought with Tucker, though?
Because I don't think that they believed as strongly that they were a favorite. I think that when you looked at a lot of those teams, they were the favorite in the American League. I don't think that they, coming into this season, were the favorite. I think they had a chance to be really good.
Yeah, I would disagree with that. Like, if you have a lineup that has Jordan, Tucker, you know, you didn't see the breakout of Pena coming, but Pena's at least in the offseason, an above average, you know, shortstop in baseball. You still have Altuve. And then you have Fromber, Hunter Brown, Hader, and Abreu in the back end. Like, I do not believe the Astros front office didn't feel like they were a World Series contender.
Well, they weren't going to sign Bregman. So you weren't going to have Bregman in the mix.
Well, I didn't say Bregman.
No, I'm saying, I'm throwing that out there. So you got to figure out what you're doing with third base. You wouldn't have had a Paredes. So you would have had someone less than like Bregman probably playing third base. You know that Tucker's coming off the injury. I just felt like I personally would answer that question by saying I didn't think that they felt as strongly about their chances to actually win a World Series as they did when they had some of those other guys.
Yeah, if they didn't, I think it's foolish. I mean, Tucker, Jordan in the middle of a lineup, and then Fromber and Hunter Brown up top is, to me, a World Series foundation. I think it was more finances. I think it was them getting under the competitive balance tax, which it seems like Jim Crane mandated Dana Brown to do. Like, we don't know that for sure, which is us guessing. But they trade Ryan Pressly for a lower-level prospect. They shipped out Rafael Montero and ate some of the contract, trying to get under that competitive balance tax. Dana Brown said we have to be creative with our finances in the offseason. I think it had more to do with the payroll than their belief if they were a World Series contender or not. Texter, Bryce Matthews, the future shortstop of the Astros, ? Are you saying that, Brandon, because you believe in Bryce Matthews as the shortstop? No, I don't think Bryce Matthews is a shortstop. I know he was a shortstop in college. I know he's played shortstop in minor league baseball, but they moved him to second base to be the heir apparent at second base. I don't think they like his defense enough, actually, to be the future shortstop. I don't think the future shortstop, if they traded Jeremy Pena, not this offseason, but next offseason, I don't think he's currently in the organization. Maybe you draft him here in a few weeks.
Yeah, I don't think he's a shortstop either, and I think that what you said is true, because I think that when they were looking at this, when they were trying to find solutions, juggling things when they put Altuve and left, I don't think that they thought he'd be ready this year or maybe later in the season, but I think that Bryce Matthews was already being groomed to be a second baseman. And I think that from a third base perspective, I'm not sure if his arm's good enough. I'm not sure at the major league level he has the range and everything defensively to play major league shortstop. I think he's the second baseman of the future for this team as well.
Might be even as soon as like August.
That's what I'm saying. Late end of this year, they might have factored in that he might be there.
Yeah, it depends on if he starts hitting a little bit in Sugarland. I don't like this road home splits with Bryce Matthews.
He had a 4-hit game in Sugarland last week.
That's good. So he needs to keep that up. Although Dubon's been on fire offensively, so he's buying some time there at that position. 713-780-3776. Jeremy Pena. If he doesn't play hardball, if he doesn't do business with you, you trading Jeremy Pena, not this offseason, but next offseason, going into that final year of his contract? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank, who's likely day-to-day with head discomfort from having to listen to Jeremy Branham's sassy mouth.
Why are they all aimed at me?
You wrote that?
I did, yeah.
You're very proud of it, the way you were chuckling back there.
I was chuckling at Jeremy's reaction. Two of the three are against you, Jeremy. The one in progress is against Joel.
How many of you...
Can't wait.
Four.
How many of you done today?
Two.
Those two were directed at whom?
You.
Okay. I see a bias. You're acting like Dre. You're being one-sided.
You're playing the victim card here?
Huh?
Playing the victim card here?
Yes. Clearly. That's what I'm doing. Yes. Should you trade Jeremy Pena? Not this offseason. Not at the deadline. Nothing like that. Just going into his final year of his contract. If we're assuming that he's not going to play poker with you and give you a team-friendly deal, are you doing it? 713-780-ESPN.
I think the other thing you got to factor in, too, is just, is he going to continue to do this? Is this a heater, or is this him taking it to another level? Because I think that next year, gives you at least a little wiggle room to figure that out too, so that you don't have to jump the gun.
You'll have more data by the time that you're. But I want him to play well. Like, here's the thing, though. Like, do you want a player who's going to be in demand in free agency whenever he gets there? Of course you do. Like, it's a good problem to have. Like, it's whenever these colleges are like, oh, I don't want my coach to leave. Whenever they're a stepping, yes, you do. You know why you want them to leave? Because that means they're doing good things while you're there. Obviously, you would love for them to be there forever because they're winning for you. But if you're at East Carolina, don't you want that coach to go to the SEC eventually? Of course you do, because that means you're winning. You know what you don't want? You don't want them to have to fire that guy because he's not winning. It's the same thing here. Oh, man, Jeremy Payne is playing so good. Now we're not going to be able to afford him. That's what you want. You want these players to play so good that they outprice themselves from you. And then guess what? They're going to go to free agency, or you trade them before then, and they're going to get this massive contract they're never going to live up to. It's a good problem to have.
This is from a basketball perspective. Xavier, Creighton, schools that are basically middle of the pack at best, but you get a coach that's able to take you places, and then you hope that he stays. But the longer he stays, to your point, the better the program is in the short term, which you might not be able to do otherwise because coaches don't want to go there. And you look at some of the big names that go, they're only using you as a stepping stone for a year or two to get to the next destination. Whereas if you get a guy and you're lucky enough that he kind of gets good while over the years as he develops and then the program develops, he sets a foundation no matter what for who wants to take that job next. I've seen it with Marquette, where Marquette is in Milwaukee. And yet, if you get the right coach for a couple of years, they've had Tom Crean. They've had good coaches prior to that. They got Shaka Smart now after he left Texas. And he's done wonders in that situation. And if he goes, you might not be that good again for a long time.
Mic is off. That was a terrible intro, says Tyler in the row. Hey, Brian, did you hear that? Terrible intro, says Tyler in the row. Checks in the mail, Tyler.
So should I play it again next segment?
By then, the Astros will have a new superstar with Cam Smith, so we can let Pena go. Hopefully he's that guy. I don't doubt that he can't be that guy. I think he can be, but that shouldn't be the reason that you're like letting Pena go. To me, they're two separate entities. Mm-hmm. They're two different conversations. Josh from Seabrook, if Pena starts looking for $30 million a year, at least we have Bryce in the wings. Again, I don't think Bryce is your future shortstop. Is there a way for players to adapt, not fall for it again? Pena's having a breakout season. Get the bag. Isn't guaranteed to sustain this 2 years from now. Is there anything here Boris can do to say, I'm not going to end up like Tucker and risk the bag? Yeah. I mean, they could broach Dana Brown and be like, hey, we want to be here long term. Here's what we think our value is. We understand that, you know, we still have 2.5 years of club control. So I'm willing to take a little bit less than what my value would be on the open market because I want to be here long term. Now, that is rare in professional sports. It does happen. Jose Altuve's done it on occasion. Lance McCullers, Alex Bregman did it early in his Astro tenure as well. So it is possible. It's just rare in sport.
I think that from an agent and player perspective, the thought is this is him just ascending and it's not going to stop. So that's where they're going to set the bar. And then how low are you willing to go? Do you love this place? Do you love this environment? Do you love this city? Is that going to factor in how many dollars you might take off of your asking price? Because you know that Dana's going to play hardball. We hear this all the time when negotiations are the toughest thing for a player to have to deal with and swallow the true facts of the matter of you think the team loves you, but they're going to come to you and say, you've done it for 1 year. We've got to see more. And if we're not going to see more and you want us to put our money where our mouth is, then it's not going to be as much as you're asking for.
Yes, trade him. Value is high. We could get some real good pieces. Pena won't sustain this through the years. I don't think any player, for what it's worth. It's not a knock on Pena. I know, I've seen the evidence on this. How many players who sign these massive contracts live up to the contract? It's like less than 5%. Yeah. It's very, very rare.
We rattle off the poster children that are at the front of the list with these things when you start talking about the Albert Pujolses when he went to the Angels and the Tigers with
Miggy
Cabrera. Those are like front of the list in terms of guys that just never came close. And their last couple of years were like dead years because of what they didn't do to produce at all. And until Pujols found the golden baseballs and maybe some more.
What do you mean? They're both all-stars their final year.
Yeah, because they were anointed. I know. Yeah, anointed by Major League Baseball. And there's been plenty of others. Like you said, I didn't know the number was low as 5%, but it just normally doesn't work in the team's favor.
Yeah, 5% is the number I'm throwing out there, but I kind of believe it. The person that I was arguing with today, we were arguing about Gerrit Cole. And look, Gerrit Cole signed a 9-year contract at massive money, top end of the starting pitching market. And it's like, well, he's lived up to it so far. Maybe he's lived up to it so far, but he's only halfway through it.
And he's hurt.
Right. Yeah. But like, if you went the first 4 years, did Gerrit Cole live up to the life of that contract? Yep. Maybe. Like, okay, yes, you can have that one. I'll concede that Gerrit Cole, the first 4 of 9 years of his contract, has lived up to it. But he's got 5 more. And like you said, he is hurt. I don't think Gerrit Cole is going to ultimately live up to the contract. I think he's potentially lived up to it in the first half of it, but I don't think in totality, all said and done, he's going to live up to it.
See, to me, it's even more difficult and it would be more of a struggle as an organization to make a commitment when it's a pitcher because of the fact that we talk about the numbers almost on a daily basis when it involves the Astros specifically, but then with other franchises that have to deal with it as well. Numbers continue to rise in terms of how many pitchers are going through Tommy John and arm surgeries on a year-to-year basis. You sign up to a long-term deal, you almost are guaranteeing that you're going to lose that pitcher for a year or two, as we've seen with the Astros, depending on the surgery, the rehab, the actual patient themselves and how they react. You have to, if you're looking to sign a pitcher long-term, you're probably looking to already, the minute the deal is done, agree that you're going to lose money on the deal.
Yeah. I mean, the way that it's going nowadays, you have to assume that a guy's going to at least be injured, a starting pitcher at least be injured for at least a season, maybe 18 months, maybe longer. 409, Josh, if the Astros know they aren't going to re-sign a quality player, they should trade them at the deadline and get max value. I think you get more value in the offseason than at the deadline.
Yeah, you're a rental if you wait to the final year of the deal, and you're not going to get nearly as much, no matter what the demand is from other teams. And if you're lucky, you know, it's a guy that's sought after by multiple teams. I still think at least a year out in that offseason is when you'll get the top dollar.
Give Pena 6 years, 150, and 20% ownership of Taqueria Arandes. It's a good idea.
Or both.
It depends on where.
That's right.
Depends on where. It depends on who's saying it, too, because I noticed the graphic says Taquerias, right?
It does, yes.
And Peña says Taqueria.
Correct.
I mean, if he wants to be a $30 million man, he needs to start saying the sponsor's name right.
Or, I don't know that there is a definition. I mean, a differentiation. Is there a line in the sand that they're two different? If they're still owned by the same place.
I don't know. I drove by one the other day, and I thought it was different than the normal one.
And I think someone said something about that one would be more like faster food than it would be more of a sit-down restaurant. That's the difference between the two. I don't know that to be fact.
Yeah, I have no idea. Keith from L.A., what do you do if he comes in next season and holds out for a new contract? You don't see that in baseball. I've never seen it in baseball. Tyler in the row, absolutely, I would train Pena. He was never supposed to turn into this player. I don't know why that's relevant, though. Like, he is this player.
He is this player. But now the bigger question is, can he continue to be this player
going forward? That's where the GM's evaluation and scout comes in play. If you could chip him for a couple of high-level prospects, you got to do that. Any updates on Yordan's return? I believe there is a chance he doesn't come back this year. He was throwing with Joe Espada today. I think it's foolish to think he doesn't come back this year, but I've been wrong before.
But does having a catch mean that he's swinging a bat anytime soon?
No.
No?
I mean, I don't think they're going to bring him back before the All-Star break.
And they're chilling right now. They're in La Playa right now.
Yeah, he's in La Playa. He was hanging out on the beach, according to Mauricio Dubon. His own teammate said he was at the beach. Not my words. Dubon said he was at La Playa.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. And just because he's playing catch.
Right now. La Playa right now.
And I'm sure that they want that to be the positive that the media members catch and report on and talk about. But he ain't swinging a bat.
Yeah.
And he's definitely not doing it against live pitching yet.
I like the way that they're taking it easy, though. Like, you don't need him right now. You're cruising.
This time. What was our deadline? The end of the month?
I really don't know. I don't have that deadline.
No, I'm saying if he goes past the end of the month, then they mishandled it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, if they get into July and he's still missing games, they mishandled it. But I don't need him back before the All-Star break. And I do think it's a good sign that he was playing catch today because he's right-handed. We forget. He swings left-handed, throws right-handed, and he broke the fourth metacarpal in his right hand. So he's good enough to throw a baseball. That's a positive sign. It's better than not throwing a baseball.
Yeah, but it's still not that impact and vibration of a baseball bat.
Like, we thought it was a good sign. He was swinging.
It was a good sign
3 weeks ago, and then it wasn't a good sign because his hand was still
60%,
broken.
Hopefully,
60%.
Doesn't break his fourth metacarpal while he throws a baseball. I mean, I'm holding a baseball right now. I don't feel any stress or tension.
If there's one guy on the Astros who could do that, it'd be Yordan.
No doubt. No doubt about it. I hope Espada didn't break his left hand as he was throwing his heater. He's trying to show off to Yordan Alvarez. He threw it hard, and Yordan breaks his fourth metacarpal in his left hand. His glove hand? That'd be awful. Should the Astros trade Peña before he's free and before he's going into the final year of his deal? Also, let's relive a bit. Actually, we'll do that later. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I've been having so much fun with the show today that I've not been looking at Twitter. Usually I scroll Twitter way too much. There is some news from the Astros.
You tell.
You want the good news first or the bad news first?
Too bad news. I didn't know there was bad news
involved. Yeah, there's bad news, too. Sean Dubin has been placed on the 15-day IL with a right forearm strain. He go.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's it.
Thoughts and prayers.
His season's over.
I was hoping it was going to be a weight room accident, but instead, he go.
Yeah, they've selected the contract of reliever Jordan Weems, who was that 4A guy that the Astros signed.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Exactly.
Fair. And then they transferred Pedro Leon to the 60-day IL. They could have transferred Yordan Alvarez to the 60-day IL. He's sneaking up on 60 days. It'd be 60 days, like early July. His last game he played was May 2nd.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so he's sneaking up on the 60 days. He's not
chilling right now. He's in La Playa right now.
He's hanging out in La Playa. That's why he's not doing anything. Now, he did return. He wasn't on the road trip with the Astros. He was at La Playa. But he did swing a baseball bat today. The Astros in their game notes saying that Yordan Alvarez, right-hand fracture, they got it right this time, began swinging a bat by hitting off a tee on Sunday afternoon. He's scheduled to hit off the tee in the batting cage again today.
You think he was swinging the bat on the beach?
On La Playa. It's a good place to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad place to do it. If you're just swinging off a tee, put a little wiffle balls there, take some hacks, I mean, sing them into the Gulf of America.
Kramer wants the golf balls into the ocean, so why not baseballs?
Hole in one. It was a million-to-one shot.
The summer of George!
He hit the hole in one. That's such a classic episode. They all are. The Major League Baseball draft is the least hyped draft in major sports, but isn't Ethan Holliday supposed to be the best shortstop in the draft? I've seen him go anywhere from like 1 to 5, maybe. Texter, ugh, please, no more baseball talk. All right, we'll get right on that. Signing with Boris essentially means signing with a different team. Trade him when the time comes. The Astros are like the A's. That's a terrible take.
How?
Let's put that on bad take. I guess he's saying they're cheap or they're not.
You just made the list.
Good. I mean, that's
Astros are like the A's.
That's brutal.
Texter, you'll hear that again on Thursday when we're at Cactus Jack, bang, bang, out in Mount Bellevue. Rocky, why can't we just offer Peña $20 million per year for 4 or 5 years or something comparable? Because he would laugh that out of the ballpark. He would be like, ha, 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 ha. Not doing that. Breaking news, guys. None of these guys worth long-term contracts, let's be honest. Agreed. I agree. Like, I've been on this
for 20 years.
I felt like this way when I was in high school. Bryce Harper's lived up to the contract. Okay. That one's tough. I'll concede that he's lived up to the contract, although Bryce Harper in each of the last 3 years has gone backwards offensively. Oh, yeah, he doesn't play the outfield anymore. He's gone down in each of the last 3 years from an OPS standpoint. He's 32 this year. Oh, yeah, he's hurt. And he still has 6 years left on that contract.
Right now,
his AAV is not awful because he actually signed like a lower AAV with a long-term security, but it's still 27.5.
Yeah, I think that as long as he's not missing like significant time, I think by the end of it, you expect the regression, but I think that you could get away with to at least this point that he's at least been worth it.
They're still going to this point, I will agree. I'll agree to this point. But he still has 6 years left of the contract, and he's gone backwards in each of the last 3 years from an offense standpoint. And he doesn't play the outfield anymore. He hasn't played the outfield since 2022.
32 now.
So he's a first baseman only who's got an OPS plus of 123. That's above average, but it's not $25.5 million a year, and he's not going to get better.
Yeah, if he's 32 now, 6 more years, at 38, 39, I don't think he's going to be even close to where he is now. That's where, just based on where 27-ish sits, as opposed to what the going rate and market value is. I think the one argument is that he probably wanted to play outfield again, and then they just restructured and said, we like you better at first base because we can add to our outfield.
Fine, but that loses his value.
I get it, yeah.
Like, playing corner outfield with that bat is more important than playing infield or first base with that bat. Like, yeah. It gives you one, positional flexibility. It's harder to find corner outfielders, although in the Astros' case, a little different.
I mean, I throw Manny Machado into the mix of maybe guys you could. I don't know if
300, he's. Didn't, did he just sign an extension? But he got 300 mil, didn't he?
I mean, he's still playing really well.
No, I know he's playing at a high level, but he got 300
I don't know
mil.
How many years he has left, but.
It was long term.
Come on,
deal.
Brian. You coming with that weak sauce? What? Manny Machado's that guy. What does he got left? No idea.
I mean, his OPS plus right now is a 139. Argument. Like, no, he's playing at a very high level.
He's a very good baseball player. I'm trying to pull up his. He signed an 11-year, $350 million contract. He's making over $31 million
in year seven or eight.
And he does the contract doesn't end until 2033.
Yeah, that was a new extension, I think.
2033.
Oh, okay. Well, the new extension changes things.
That's insane. Now, he is one of the better ones. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can look at Machado and be like, okay, he's one of the better ones, and it still ain't great.
Plus
Bryce
defense.
Harper, one of the better ones. Kind of questionable getting into the halfway through.
But at
there.
Least with Machado, with his arm and his glove, you can say that defensively he's still at a very high level.
And he's playing a premium position,
right,
too.
As opposed to what you were talking about with Harper.
Manny Machado's war last year was 3.1, 2.7 in 23. And you're paying that $30 million a year? That's a lot. And again, it's going to go backward. Now, this year, he's on a better pace. He has been better this year than the last 2 years. His bat's actually gotten better this year than each of the last two seasons. But again, like, those are the better ones, and they're still kind of questionable. They're still kind of – and there's way more of the, oh, my goodness, that got your bank. Like, Strasburg's still in the books. Anthony Rendon.
Oh, Anthony Rendon is like
that
one
might
of
be the
worst.
That might be the worst.
When you just look at games played alone versus games missed, that's awful.
And just want to.
How about Carlos Correa?
Yeah, Correa's not great. I mean, his is only $200 million. The rest of these guys we're talking about are usually $300 plus, so – it's a different conversation, but he hasn't lived up to it.
Astros running away with first place without the help of Yordan, Bregman, or Tucker. They're playing really well, and that's why baseball is not a pay-the-superstar game. It's more about being sound, deep, the weakest link, all of that. Isn't Harper usually hurt each year? He does get hurt a lot. It's what happens when guys get into their 30s. Everyone was ready to pay Yiner last year. Dude is so lazy behind the plate, doesn't throw people out. Get into that in a minute. Texter Branham, thank you for saying Cactus Jacks in Mont Bellevue, not Bates. See, I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of the people. No baseball talk. What the heck does the listener what? WNBA? What other sports are on? Uh-oh. Texter on Texter violence. Here we go. Baseball guy versus non-baseball guy going toe-to-toe.
I'd like the non-baseball guy to answer the question. What the hell else is going on?
Is Yordan living up to the contract, Phillip 68? Not really. And his was a team-friendly deal. You can't live up to the contract on the IL. You just can't.
Right. I mean, the best you just have to play. And because we keep going through this year after year, because it's one thing to say we have the Yordan rules. Well, the Yordan rules were in place so that he would stay healthy, and he's not doing that. And then when he is trying to get back, that ain't working out so well either. So we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, no.
Lance was team-friendly. Hasn't really worked out. Javier, team-friendly, hasn't worked out. Yordan, team-friendly, hopefully it will work out, but it's tough. I mean, all of those contracts are very reasonable to the team, but they've been hurt, so you can't get any return on the investment when you're hurt. You might want to trade Pena this year while he's hot because you're not guaranteed he's going to have the same year next year. Think about that. I can hear that. I can listen to that argument. I think it's a fair point. It depends, again, on your evaluation of the player. LSU second baseman played from the regional on with a broken bone in his hand. It's because he's a dog. Yordan.
It's a tiger.
I'm a dog.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Pena won't be a free agent until after the 27 season, right? There's a lot of time to let this play out before having to wonder what to do with Pena. That's why I think you should trade him in the offseason before 2027. Same thing that you did with Kyle Tucker is what you need to be prepared to do for Jeremy Pena. Don't let him enter free agency and get a compensation pick. Trade him for the whatever is out there in terms of get the equal of Cam Smith, Isak Paredes, and Hayden Wesneski. Did you like the Kyle Tucker trade? If the answer is yes, you should be pro-trade Jeremy Pena going into the 2027
season. Look, I think that if you want to trade sooner than that, or you're talking about trading him sooner than that, that's not Jeremy Pena, that's Jake Meyers. Because of the two guys that are having breakout seasons, of the two, who do I trust less? I trust Jake Meyers less. I don't expect Jake Meyers to do this every single year. I'm ecstatic what he's been doing. And I think that if you're going to trade off your major league roster, there's a guy that might be in play no matter how good he's hitting, because you're going to sell high. I think from a Pena perspective, you are. You're just going to, if you play it right, you play it just like you played Kyle Tucker.
I believe in Meyers a little bit more than you do. Mm-hmm. I think he is overproducing in terms of an offensive standpoint. I think Pena probably is a little bit too, but Meyers' defense is just so good. Like if Meyers is a free agent, I think he gets $15 million a year just for his defense alone. Like, he's really good defensively.
Yeah, I just think that the agent is looking, probably going to look to go higher than that. I think that you're right. Defensively, that's just another reason why he's going to be attractive to most teams. But if you want to sell high, now is the time, in my opinion, to sell high, because I just don't think he's going to sustain this.
It's just tough to trade your everyday center fielder who's making $2.5 million a year and has been like a top five center fielder in like war, any offensive number. Like, it's tough to do. And I don't think that the value would be as great, because it's like, oh, what Jake Meyers is having this year, you can trade him for what the Mariners could trade J-Rod for. I mean, these baseball teams are pretty savvy. Like, they know that this is the Jake Meyers offensive anomaly. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that Jake Meyers has the value in Major League Baseball that maybe Astro fans are hoping they could sell him for.
Just hope an owner comes in like Jim Crane did with Montero and says, that's not just an anomaly. That's going to happen for three more years.
Yeah. I mean, that was contract, not trade.
Right, I get it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know what Meyers' trade value would be around baseball. It'd be hard for me to trade Meyers with that defense whenever you have a team that's this good and believes in pitching and defense. 713-780-ESPN, tell the non-baseball guy the Professional Pickleball Association's next tournament doesn't start until Friday. Wait your turn. There you go. All right, Dana Brown's being criticized for something that he said whenever he was new to the job. He said that we're going to sign players young, right? We're going to do what we did in Atlanta, sign players early. He signed one guy early, Christian Javier. Does Dana deserve criticism for saying he was going to sign young players to extensions and then not doing it, not following up on his word? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You don't have to worry about Monument Chevrolet going back on their word. They will always honor their word. So if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. Transparent, no hassle pricing. They're not going to upcharge you, do all that silly stuff. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. Stellar resume. And they've helped families get into new vehicles for generations now. And you know what happens there is that these families keep coming back. It's like a cycle, because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Why do they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet? Well, I mentioned the transparency, the no-hassle pricing, but also the family feel that you get the grasp of the moment that you step on the lot there at Monument Chevrolet. Friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to the fantastic culture that they have at Monument Chevrolet. So again, if you're in the market for the pre or the new, for the pre-owned or the new vehicle, get out to Monument Chevrolet, get your car shopping done fast. A fast deal, a fair deal, and an easy deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. You don't want any of that. That's the stress and anxiety that comes with car buying that we don't have any time for. We dread it. We don't want it. That's why you go to Monument Chevrolet. That way you don't have to experience that. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Now is the time to upgrade your ride. Visit them online at monumentchevrolet.com. That's monumentchevrolet.com. Or go visit them in person, 225 Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together. Let's drive.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.